any introduction because he's known to us. And we're very happy this morning to have him with us. I'm sure that all of us enjoyed his death last night on the tabernacle. We've looked with pleasure and profit to him in previous years. And this morning, brother, he's going to talk on the presence of God. We start from the base from the 116th Psalm, the 11th verse. So, brother, it's my privilege and my honor to present to you our brother Peter. And I would ask you once again to give him your very close attention, to lend him your ear, because he's going to have a message for all of us from God's own precious word. And I know that if you do this, you'll be greatly blessed. Brother Magnus.
Right. see that vision, perhaps, is sometimes a half vision, and it is sometimes a great temptation to take things into our own hands, and as it were, not a friend of mine for him to do it. It takes patience and a lack of self-control. Thank you. hope I don't determine what's best for you, but rather, would be best that you can get from the Lord and best from the others around you. Oh, well, let's give them to us, and the Lord will grant you as you seek to get direction from Him. Now, in verse 4, the 28th chapter, we find the Lord. Job 28, the 23rd of the 28th verse. He said, "Thou hast established the way of the Lord, that is the path of wisdom, the right path, and He knoweth the place thereof where wisdom is found. For He looketh to the earth and to the earth, and seeth unto the whole heaven. That is the Lord. He knows that the span from the farthest to the nearest, from the greatest to the smallest, is as the distance of the time. But He is able to give a map and direction to those who walk. He makes the weight for the wind, and He weigheth the waters by night. Every word there has a good deal of practice worth meditation. For He made a decree for the rain, and the way for the lightning and the thunder. Then did He see it, and declare, He prepared the rain, He stretched it out. And unto man, He said, behold, the rain is with Jehovah, that is wisdom, and to depart from the evil is understanding." The word Lord here isn't for the word Jehovah, it is Earth. The rest of that is wisdom, and to depart from evil, that is understanding. Other texts along the same line, Proverbs 2, 6-9. He says, particularly beginning with the first verse of the chapter, "My son, if thou didst my way, and have my commandments with thee," that is, if you really want them, if you really desire to know the right thing and to gain the best out of life, so that thou mayest be happy with them, that is, if you care enough about being willing to listen and apply thy hand to understanding, that is, if you care enough about being willing to study, give up other things that you want no learn about the truth and God's faith. Yea, if thou desirest that matter, if you're willing to go forth back to back, inquire, ask, and look to set thy heart to that, if thou desirest and observe and perfect power and perfect work. In other words, if you turn it up to that, you pass it out even to the earth, back to the earth, or other things. And you know what a man that goes out, he doesn't sit down and ask for the food and television stuff and all the other things that he likes to go with him, but he leaves all that to him, it's only what he's going to need. And he lives a life of practice to protect the pleasure that he seeks. And so is the Lord says, "But if he values it as much as a man of that practice, gold is your hand, or precious stone." He says, "But if you're willing to sacrifice more, and it's going to cost you something," he says, "just grant thou hast in mind the reverence of Jehovah, and man the marriage of God." Understand is meaning more than have married. A brother came to me once about some work, and he said, "John, I don't understand all I know about it." You see, that's right. He knew certain facts, but he hadn't seen the relationship one to another and how to use them. And so here, now, if you continue looking at facts, wisdom is learning how to put those facts one to another and to make use of them and to apply them. As the prophet said, that knowledge happens, makes you proud, but wisdom buildeth up, love the old proverb is that knowledge is time because it knows so much. That's the attitude of a good many scientists and leaders of men. But wisdom is humble because it knows no more. You realize that the vast amount you do makes what you do know just like a drop in the bucket or a grain of sand upon the seashore. And we go down.
Now, you might have heard
This is a brand new attention. If you think and wait patiently, if you seek with the Spirit of the Lord, and as you listen to those, or think of those thoughts, and engage in those thoughts, you find they do lead you, they do guide you, and experience makes you more
that comes into our of it.
Israel were in rebellion about Pharaoh and learning they wanted to get another leader to lead them back into Egypt. Well, for God to have those in the past of which we could have back there, so just remember the onions and the garlic and the outspans what they thought we had. And Moses had to go back with those who were rebellious men. Could have gone a Lord perhaps into the inheritance, but no. The Lord asked him to ask him to endure their rebellion and their lack of appreciation and to go with them. And so with them he went. So dissatisfaction, lack of appreciation, but even stumbled him at the last and received their companionship of the Creator. And like Daniel, he was greatly beloved. Now in chapter 23, he tells us a little more detail along that line. In the 20th verse of the 23rd, he said, "Behold, I have an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared." You see, Jehovah didn't come himself. He doesn't have to. He's got these others that have the full power, full power, and as he said it in here, this angel was sent to keep thee, to guide thee, to protect thee in the world, and to bring thee farther into the inheritance that I have given back. Beware of him, and obey his voice, for this is not, for he will not pass your trap. You see, there's a responsibility and a seriousness about this part and this part of the Lord. My angel shall go before and bring me into the land of the Amorites, into this one of these wonderful blessings. And if thou shalt indeed obey my voice and do all that I speak, then I'll be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary to thine adversaries. And so in the last measure, more than what we do obey and do have, there is the protection, the blessing, the companionship, the presence of God in our midst. And the Lord said, "This is the chapter of his 10 commandments are given, that I bow down to the dwelling place, therefore that is a known abiding for me, and not even a graven image." And why the dwelling place? Is he practicing all the rules and the first place and everything? No, it's for the good of his creatures. He is so. And he just asks his creatures to acknowledge the fact that he and believe in accordance therewith. It's for their good, for his good, to acknowledge him, because being any other, despising any other in his presence, just means the lack of the presence in heaven. Like Moses, he says, "What is the Lord trying to do? What to do good? To love God, and to walk after the shore of our God, to love mercy, as he said, rather, and to walk after the shore of our God, to deal justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly." In other words, to love yourself up and move in harmony with the laws of God's universe. Let us say, "Lord, this man, he's written into every created thing that he's made, so that all of us, his will is done from every other place that I deserve." And he asks, "Let's just work in harmony with those laws. He's not just going to change them just because we want something else. That wouldn't be good for us." And you know, what if you have a young man and he wants to become an engineer, he has to learn about the law. Magnitude and all, graphs and all of those things, and how to operate, how you can use them. He can't go into any immediate problem and manage it. He wouldn't know how to use them. But by studying them and showing them, having them learn those laws, by practice, by application, day by day, learning them, the time comes when he can be entrusted with a whole plan to manage it and direct it. And so the Lord is the one who is now have ever appreciated such a delight to be about the open man that even you have experiences, and that is very strange to fit us for our place in the kingdom. And do you remember how the tabernacle that is illustrated by the golden apple and its position as given in the 30th of Exodus? In the first part, we saw about the second half of the first thing from the past. And in the sixth verse, that the fifth before the veil, what is by and the testimony, what is in front of it, before the veil, what is over the testimony meaning the tables of the law, what they know. Where did the Lord meet with Aaron and, as it were, fellowship with him there as much as he did before the veil, where the incense altar was placed? And we remember that Brother Matthew studied how the incense altar represents the attitude of Jesus and the church in prayer, in communion, in fellowship with the Heavenly Father. Where are we with thee? And that is as close as we can get to heaven, except from the spouse of the world. And the influence of the Father, that the mercy comes out and we get the answers to our prayers. And if we wait patiently, Lord, when we pray, believe that we have them. That is, that you're certain to get that answer, and you shall have them. That is, when you get to the point that you need it, if you are ready for you. And that takes training and patience and watchfulness. He said to pray and then watch for the answer, with no plan in a way unexpected totally by you. But it'll be an answer, nevertheless. And so here we have the first with Jesus in the presence of Jehovah, in the birth of the shepherd there, you remember on the table, the two loaves, the names of that indicate the same thing. In the Hebrew it is le companion, the birth of the person. Literally, the birth of the Savior. And in the Greek in the New Testament, it's not the same way. The bread of the faces, the bread of the presence, and it's plural. The presence of the Father and of His Son. You see, the bread, the nourishment for the new creature, the old world who habitually loved and lived daily in the presence of God. As the 91st Psalm says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow, under the protective care of God our Mother. And after Jesus said in Luther's translation, which is much more pleasant, I have heard of Jehovah, who is my God, my God. And that is fitting, if you see, but Jehovah is my God, in whom I ever continually trust, that he will. You see, there's no doubt about it. Jesus proved it, and we can prove it too. And so we prove it by faith, by trusting the Lord, and doing His will when we find that He is with us. And while we do not have so much of earthly joy, but have enough sacrifice to give those up and to gain instead the preparation for the heavenly joy. And so we find there the Lord, we are food for rich people. We have the fellowship of God, taken in grant, the first chapter of his epistle. But our fellowship is with the Father. Going back in the next preceding verse, he says, these things we declare unto you, that you might have fellowship with us. But is it you not enjoy the things that we do? For all is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And that fellowship means a sharing in the joy of the Lord, a common partaking. As he says, the bread which we break, is it not the communion of God? 1 Corinthians 11:10. And he says, the wine or the cup which we take, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The common partaking, the sharing in, and where the Lord tells us about the one place is in the 63rd of Torah, verses 9, 7-9. He said, in all the things of the Jewish people, he was afflicted. It cost something for God to do. He didn't want to. But he had to save them. Just as you, when the child is a baby, you don't take delight in punishing it, but rather you do it and bear the pain of doing it for the past. Now, come forward and willing to bear that pain of punishing their children. They think I love it for a matter, but selfish love. Selfish love. You are not willing to bear the pain of seeing your child suffer a little because of the wrongdoing. But Jehovah is, in all the he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love, he redeemed them, and he bore the trials of those of old. Yes, he bore those troubles with them, shared them with them. In Isaiah 43, he said, but now that such Jehovah has created thee, O Jacob, with the plan to fleshly Israel in those days, but to spiritual Israel more deeply. Fear not, for I have redeemed thee, and have called to the man named by my hand. Put thou not into the ground with these troubles, and with thee, when thou passest through the river, they shall not overflow thee. When thou passest through the fire, I'm with you in those experiences. And he wants us to realize that what he says, take my spirit upon me. He is the Father, the servant to the Father, being a servant. For my burden is easy, and my burden is light. If you're looking to the Father and you're happy, your spirit out that would be like affliction in comparison with the things that you will gain by and by. The burden of the time, the enduring and the waiting, is worthwhile because the death being in the world but they have with it. And so what we have to experience is let us remember that it's because God loves us that he's sending them to us. Well, that is a specific, as Brother mentioned, there's a special individual relationship of each member of the 144,000. Not only to Jesus as the head, but to the Father too. And in each of those cases, there's a special preparation for that special place in the kingdom. And in our afflictions, when you realize that the Lord is there with you, and he loves to continue with you and put you through them and order that he not destroy you, to be his companions. Do you realize that? That those who share the throne of the Lord Jesus and the divine nature with him in the ages to come are going to be the companions of the Father and of Jesus in all the ages to come. He's going to discuss with them and lay before them all, and they are going to have the privilege of carrying them out because they can be trusted with them to bless his creatures. And so he might have with the thought looking into the future of by right now and for forevermore.
If you have anything in mind that you would like to have answered,
any question, maybe something that has been troubling you, or maybe something that has come up in the talks during this convention, write it down. I'm quite sure the brethren will do their very best to enlighten you. Singing number 107, 107, this is Brother Magnuson's choice.
Thank you.
That has remained standing, brother. We'll ask our government of medicine to close this service and also to ask the Lord's blessing upon our food.
Almighty God, our wondrous Creator, our Sustainer, and our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, our Redeemer, our appointed Savior, we come, thanking Thee for the wondrous way in which Thou hast led Thy people in the past, in which Thou hast led us individually. Thank Thee for this wondrous food that is stored away in Thy Word. May it indeed become more precious to us than our daily food. May we, as we find it, well, delight therein and digest it and make it our own. Grant us Thy blessing as we further go to wait upon Thee and do all the planning needs of our daily life. May Thy blessing be with us as we fellowship together. Help us to apply these things and this energy derived therefrom in Thy praise, that we may share Thy delight.